Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Bibles, if you brought one this morning, Romans chapter 12. Let me read the scripture to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The slide's going to say spiritual worship, and that is absolutely correct also. I'm just reading out of a King James right now. 1 Corinthians also, chapter 6, if you'll flip ahead in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse number 13, I'm going to pick it up. Halfway through the verse, 1 Corinthians 13, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? I think it says prostitute in the slide. God forbid. What know ye not that he which is joined to a prostitute is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, it's not my intention this morning to speak about sexual immorality, but in those verses, the following facts are brought forward in regards to the body. I want you to just bring up the next slide. The Bible says in the text that we read this morning that the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. It says your bodies are the members of Christ. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God has an eternal purpose for the body. Amen? Because he says in the text that he is going to raise our bodies from the dead. That tells us then that God has an eternal purpose for your body, for our bodies. In Romans it says, present your bodies. It seems impossible to me to present the body unto the Lord without presenting the whole man. But the text puts the emphasis upon the body. Amen. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean the terminology a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean that, you know, you've done something really big for God or I've done something really big for God. Amen. For in fact, when I present myself to God, I'm only giving to him that which is actually his. Amen? This body that you want, well, the body that you live in, that I live in, friends, this body belongs to God. Amen? It belongs to him because he created it. So everybody, no matter who you are, whether you come to church or don't come to church, your body belongs to God because he made it. He knit you together inside of your mother's womb, the Bible tells us. Hallelujah. He also, if you're a Christian, God owns your body by right of redemption. What I mean is he paid for it with a great price upon the cross of Calvary. Amen. So your body doesn't belong to you. You don't own it. You're a steward of it. It belongs to the Lord. We just read the scripture. The body is for the Lord, and vice versa. The Lord is for the body. And in the end of that text here in 1 Corinthians, it says, glorify God, therefore, in your bodies. Amen? Some of you are thinking, well, how is this a present for Dad? Stay with me. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. We need to pray. Amen? Let's all pray. Let's all talk to God for a second here. Father, today we bind ourselves to your plan and your purpose for our being together. We honor your presence, Lord Jesus. Father, without you, we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Lord Jesus, give expression, amen, to your divine presence here this day. Manifest your presence, O God, amongst us, even as you have, Lord, even in a greater way as we continue, Lord Jesus, in this service. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open our minds to understand your truth in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody says, amen. The psalmist says, Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man, amen, that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. What is man, the scripture says, that you are so mindful of him? What are we, brothers and sisters? Amen? The Bible says God created us, but how did he create us? And for what purpose did he create us for? The scripture tells us that of everything that God has made, the human being is unique. There is no one else in all of creation that is like man, like womankind, mankind. Amen? God, friends, when he made us, created us, designed us, and created us, gave us the capacity to live and interact with two worlds. We are physical beings. We have a body. And with this body, we are able to function in the physical world that we live in. We are able to process this world through our senses, through our hearing and our eyes, our sight, our touch and our smell. And through our senses, we function in this world and we process what we experience in this world here in the inner man, in our soul. That is our mind, our emotions, our conscience, our will. We experience the world that we live in here on the inside and process it here on the inside in the soul. But we are not just physical beings, we are also spiritual beings. And there is no other part of the creation that is both physical and spiritual at the same time. The angels are spiritual, but they do not have a physical body. Are you with me? God is spirit, the Bible says. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in... Hallelujah. These guys over here are doing good. Now let's... Come on now. Amen. Praise the Lord. In spirit and in truth, when I think of the human spirit, I understand it's that part of our being that has the capacity to interact with the world of the spirit. Amen? In fact, friends, the physical world that we live in is not all that there is. There is a spiritual realm that we live in that surrounds us, just like the physical world surrounds us. When I think of the human spirit, I think of it as that part of our being that has the capacity to interact with the realm of the spirit. Now, God created us this way. Amen? Just like your body can interact with the physical world around you, your spirit can interact with the spiritual world that is around you. Amen? Think about this with me. God made us this way. If he made us this way, then he has a purpose in mind. Design implies purpose. It implies God's will is involved here. His purpose is involved here. So why then did God make us physical beings with a spiritual components, physically and spiritual beings? Amen. Why did God design us this way? Why did he make us this way? Well, in the beginning, in the garden, when God created Adam, he was alive physically and spiritually. Adam had the ability to interact with God. God had a plan. He had a purpose. What was that plan? Well, friends, God created Adam with the capacity to give physical expression to divine presence. It is really good. I was amazed when God showed that to me. God created us with the ability to give physical expression to divine presence. That is, we would experience God spirit to spirit. We would experience him in the inner man, that is, in the soul. We would have his experience, his thoughts, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. I don't mean to the fullest extent that God possesses it, but as God would will it in our lives. He would touch us. He would put his love into our hearts. He would fill us with compassion, with mercy, with grace. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. And because of his presence in our lives, we are able to give physical expression to that divine nature that we experience here within us. You have to be born again first, though. When I was living in Toronto, I was taking guitar lessons. Now, my teacher was a much better teacher than I was a student. But nonetheless, I took these guitar lessons. And when I took these guitar lessons, the instructor asked me what my purpose was. Well, I want to be able to play this guitar in church. I want to play gospel music, Christian music. Well, he found out I was a minister. He had a friend that he had grown up with, a childhood friend who had become a born-again Christian. Well, he wasn't a fan of the terminology born again. Well, when I met him one day, I said to him, well, if I told you that you could know God personally, and not only that, you could experience him here on the inside. You could experience his love. You could partake of his knowledge. You could know his wisdom. I mean, you're an amazing guitar player, but God, amen, knows every note that there is to know. If you could experience him on the inside and know him personally and have him with you 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, would you be interested in that? Yes, he said. Well, that's what it means to be born again, to be a Christian. Amen? It's not just coming to church. It's not just having all the right Christian words. It means having God on the inside. Why did God create us this way? Let me see where we are on the slides. Bring up the next one. I think. Well, that's good. That's close enough. I want you to notice here that in the text in Genesis chapter 1, that God talks about when he created man. He said, let us make man in our likeness, after our likeness. In our image is how some of the other versions are. Do you know it says about Jesus in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Amen? When you see Jesus, said, when you see me, you see the Father also. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm giving physical expression to the God who's living within me. The works that I do are not mine, but it is the Father who is in me doing the works. Powerful, isn't it? Do you know that you have that living inside of you if you are God's child? If you have accepted him as your Savior. What is God's purpose then? You'll notice in the text it says that he gave them dominion. Amen. Is it up there on the thing? I can't tell. Yeah, at the very end, he told them to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. So God delegated to Adam and Eve this authority to have dominion, to the human race, to the human family, to have dominion over the creation. However, God never meant for Adam to exercise that authority on his own. God created Adam so that he could experience God's divine nature. How do you think Adam could name all the animals? Where did he get the wisdom? Who taught him to speak? God revealed that in him. Amen? So God gave him the wisdom. He named all the animals. He was never meant to exercise dominion or leadership or rulership in the earth on his own. He was to be a co-ruler with the divine living God. That is, God would dwell with him and dwell within him, and he would manifest himself through the man Adam, and he would rule the world through the human man, woman. Amen? Oh, this is really something when you stop and think about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you know, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that we are kings and priests to serve our God. You are a royal priesthood, the scripture says. And the Bible says about Jesus that he is the King of Kings. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. This morning we are gathered together with kings, and ruling over us is the King of Kings. Who is present in our midst at this very moment? The King, the Lord Jesus, enthroned in the praises of his people. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So Adam then was not meant to rule on his own. He was meant, friends, to rule with God. This tells us then something about God. Friends, God is a humble God. He's a humble God. God does not rule his creation from a position of power or from position, not from his kingly majesty and not from his divine power. God humbles himself and he comes. His will is to dwell among the creation, to dwell in the man, and to rule over the creation through the man. Wow. God is a humble God. Psalm 113. Who is like the Lord who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things of heaven and of earth. He comes himself, brothers and sisters. He beholds the things of heaven and earth. He raises the poor man up from the dust. He lifteth the needy up from the dunghill. And he causes them to be seated with the princes, even the princes of his people. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let me put it in a way that you will understand it. He didn't think it was necessary for him to hold on to his position, to hold on to his divinity, his majesty that he possessed in heaven. But, friends, he would leave that divine glory and come and clothe himself with our humanity. And then being found in the fashion of a man, he would humble himself further and take upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. Then he became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of the living God. Are you with me today? God is a humble God. Put your yoke with me. I am meek and lowly. Amen. And you will find what? Rest unto your souls. Isaiah, when he saw the glory of God in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw him. He was high and lifted up. He heard the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is full of his glory." The God who is full of divine glory and majesty, who is far above all, is never far away. He is very near, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is, if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth, you shall be. Yes. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful that I serve this God. Hallelujah. The number one qualification. This is the second fact. There's many others we could bring up, but we don't have enough time. But the first one, the most important one, is that God is humble. You notice when you read through the Gospels how many times he says to his people to be humble, to be lowly. Amen. The Bible says when you look at your brother and sister, consider them better than yourself. It says to take upon yourself the form of a what? A servant. Amen. Listen carefully. The number one qualification for leadership is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. Amen. There is no other qualification that is more important than this one. When you read the book of Acts and they wanted to choose people to serve at tables, one of the qualifications, number one qualification, be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, just look around you. Look at our world. Amen. Look at our world. Look at our political leadership in the world today. Look at Putin and Trump and the man from China. And look at this guy, the Ayatollah from Iran. Look at leadership in corporate America. Amen. Corporate North America. Look at the leadership that is not filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at men and women losing the pensions that they've worked all their lives to earn and get and have it wiped out or put down in half in a moment of time from selfish leadership. Look at the world as it's pointing weapons at each other. The number one qualification is to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. A man who is full of the Holy Ghost will naturally give, amen, physical expression to the divine presence that's dwelling within him. I mean, we can go to all kinds of marriage seminars, and I recommend them. And we can go to all kinds of different teaching things, and these are all good. But isn't it the pattern that we go to these things, and then, let's say, a marriage seminar, and then we're really romantic for about 2 weeks? And then we forget what we learn. Christianity is not lived in the power of human strength or human wisdom. Christianity is lived in the power of the Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit, are we not going to make our way perfect by the flesh? We must be filled, full of the Holy Ghost. Present your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. Let him do the rest. Are you with me now? Amen. Hallelujah. Dads, God's got a present for you today. Dads and moms and grandmas and grandpas, God has a gift for you today. That gift is the baptism, the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, which you need to be a father. Amen. Oh, listen carefully. I thank God for the men that are here today. I know that the fathers that are here today would give their lives for their children. I know the grandfathers would, and the mothers also, and the grandmothers. You would lay down your life and freely give it in the place of your child if you were called upon to do such a thing. Amen? Hallelujah. I am not questioning your dedication or your commitment, my friend, but I know we live in a world that is not just physical, but it's also spiritual. And I know that many of the challenges that we will face as mothers and fathers are going to be beyond our human capacity. We must be filled full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. I was at the camp on Friday, Manhattan Beach Camp, and I saw Pastor Cal Young there. He's driving by, so I called out to him, and I said, "Did you miss me?" I hardly know Cal. I've crossed paths with him a few times, and we talked a little bit. Then Pastor Cal, when he's leaving, he says, "I love you, Derek." And I know that Cal hardly knows me. We've never sat down and had a meal together. We've never really done anything together. We just know each other, who we are. But when he said to me, "I love you, Derek," I knew that that was true. I knew it was real. I knew it was sincere. I knew where it was coming from. It was a physical expression of a divine presence. That's why you need to belong to the church. Because God's going to meet your needs through the people in it. He's going to build you up through them. He's going to love on you through them. He's going to support you through them. This morning I'm getting ready to come to preach here. I'm really nervous. I've worked hard to get ready, but I'm nervous. My wife, I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm all dressed. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go an hour before I have to go. And my wife comes up to me. She says, "Derek, can I anoint you for the service this morning?" So I got up off the couch. She took out a little bottle of anointing oil. She anointed me on my forehead. She put her hand upon me. She began to pray. I could tell she was really moved by the Holy Ghost. She was praying for me for the meeting this morning, for the ministry. And I knew that when my wife was praying for me, that she was not alone. I know she was moved by God to pray for me. I know the Spirit of God was giving revelation of his presence through her. I knew the hands that were upon me were not her hands, but the hands of God. And I knew the anointing was coming from him. I hope you're getting this morning. This is what God made you for. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Man. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're struggling in your marriage, you'll have the long-suffering to see it through and be kind. And when you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be snappy and crabby. Ask me, I know. Are you with me? Amen? There was a little boy. I guess the musicians can make their way back now. I think I'm getting close to the end here. There was a little boy who went to the fair, the summer fair, with his family. When he got to the summer fair, he walked by this, I don't know what to call it. It's a thing with a platform and a bell at the top. And you hit the platform with a mallet, and there's a little metal slider on the rung that goes all the way up. If you hit it hard enough, it rings the bell. And everybody wants to ring the bell. When the little boy saw it, he really wanted to try it. And it was $10 for three slams, three whacks. So somebody in the family paid it, paid the bill for him. He took the hammer, he raised it up, and he hit the platform as hard as he could. And sure enough, that little metal disc that's supposed to come up on the metal rung, it rose about 2 inches. The little boy took the hammer, and again he hit it as hard as he could. And he got it up a little higher this time, 2 inches and 1/8. He hit it a third time, and the same thing was the result. Man, the man who was running the little display or the event there, he saw the energy. He saw the determination of the little boy. And although he had used up his three swings, he said to him, "Hit it again." And he swung the mallet and he hit it again. Hit it again. The same thing kept happening. The thing would only come up a couple inches. He's coming up now to his 10th swing. And the man who's there somehow flicks something in the back and causes that little metal to rise and hit the bell. And it rings. And the little boy says, "I never did that before." And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, you will ring the bell every time. Be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is not an option, by the way. It's not a Pentecostal thing or a Baptist thing or a four square. It is God's will for all of us. It's what we were made for, what we were designed for. I sense a great hunger here today from all of you, mothers, fathers, young men, young women. I sense a hunger here in this place to be filled with God. I see young couples out struggling. They're working so hard. They're under lots of pressure. There's pressure at work, pressure at home. Some of you have teenagers and you're struggling. And sometimes those teenagers will make the wrong decisions, the wrong choices, and they'll blow it big time. When you're a man or a woman of God that's full of the Holy Ghost, you're able to pour on the oil and the wine. You're able to show grace and mercy. You're able to wrap your arms around them and give physical expression to the divine presence. When you run out of your own love, there's still the love of God. And I recommend to every one of you that's here today that you make your way to this altar. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe today you're here and you'd say to yourself, "I've never accepted Jesus into my life as my Savior. I didn't know what it really meant. I didn't know I could have God personally living inside of me. I didn't know that God could change my life like this, that I could experience Him in this way." Today you're going to invite Christ. You're going to believe in Him. You're going to invite Him into your life. He's going to become the Lord of your life, and you're never going to be the same, and you're never going to regret it. Amen? So here, before I open up this altar, invite people to come. How many here today, you'd raise your hand right away and say, "Preacher man, I want to accept Jesus." You may have been coming to church for a while in your life, but you've never made that step to accept Christ. You've never taken Him in your heart and have been made alive by the Spirit. Today you're going to do that. I want you to raise your hand quickly. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? I want to be a child of God. Okay, I see your hand. You can put it down. You can put it down. Anybody else? I want to be a child of God. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want my past wiped out. Anybody? Hallelujah. A couple of people, one more in the back. Thank you, sir. Amen. Anyone else today? Glory to God before I move on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to pray a prayer together. Let's begin to pray. Those of you who raised your hands, you say this prayer with us. Just trying to help you a little bit here. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God who came into this world. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Today I accept you into my life as my Savior. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender everything to you in your wonderful and loving name. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at BethelBrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.